neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 182. I am Shannon, and today we just have the original gang here. We have Pete.
Hey, Shannon, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Been a little under the weather, but I'm coming out of it. So if I sound a little congested, that is why.
Okay.
How's everything going with you?
Good. It's getting to that time of year where it's actually nicer where I live than where you live.
Oh, yeah. It's just been raining. It's actually, yeah. I'm glad we scheduled this because it is a gloomy, rainy day.
Is it?
And,
yeah. I mean, it's been like high 60s, low 70s for like a week now.
Nice.
And just perfect. Kind of perfect weather. So a little bit of a breeze. So you get the breeze through the house. It's nice.
Yeah. That's really nice. Yeah. It's just hot and humid here,
yeah.
But we are finishing up school. Ryder finishes school on Wednesday, June 3rd. And then we're ready for summer camp, and I am more than ready, but we have technically finished school because they finished the actual assignments earlier. So now it's just kind of, I'm sending him and there's no homework or anything.
Yeah,
so that's the part I like.
Last week of kind of wasting
time. Yeah. But we made it through fourth grade.
Right.
I cannot believe he's going to be in fifth grade. Yeah. Next year's his last year of elementary school.
Yeah.
If I'm emotional next year, just that's why. But before we get started, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to purchase a contract and you want to explore about resale, direct, DVC Resale Market is a really great place. They have a lot of good information. Obviously, they sell contracts, but they also have like a whole like DVC Resale 101, and you can learn about what is DVC, what's a point, what's a use year, et cetera. And then you can also kind of see what the going rates are for contracts. Or maybe if you are just not using your DVC contract anymore and you want to maybe explore selling your contract, you can hit them up as well. So definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. Now we have, I think, 5 stories, but before we do, there was a lot of things opening this past week. So a lot of things opened the day after Memorial. And we did want to just kind of do a quick discussion over everything that opened. Now I have kind of seen a little bit of Soarin' Over America, but not too much. I didn't necessarily completely avoid everything. So if there was like a short or a quick Instagram, I saw it, but I didn't watch any like long form videos. The same thing on Rock and Roller Coaster. I did watch the preview or the thing with John Stamos just because I love John Stamos. That was fun. But I did do some research on Bluey because I have a 3-year-old niece that's going to Disney next month. So I was helping them.
Okay, let's start with Bluey then, because I watched a video of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically the characters come out and it's a little show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's new spiel on the train.
Mm-hmm. with Robert Irwin.
Right. Oh yeah, right. Robert Irwin from
Crocodile Hunter's son.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody. What do they call him? A crocodile kid? Or I don't know. There's somebody that on Instagram that I follow that calls him something, and it's really funny.
Yeah.
Crocodile son, I think is what he calls. I listened to part of that. I was like, oh, that's really good because he's so animated.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good speaker, and I'm also a sucker for an Australian accent. So.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a handsome kid too.
He is. He's like, I could be his mom, but
yeah. Right. I mean, the show, you know, what I saw of the show, it looks like it's cute. It's certainly entertaining. You know, it's kind of what it is, which is for the you know, Bluey is for the younger kids.
Right.
And it's a show set up for the younger kids. And I think if you bring your younger kid out there, it would be fun. I mean, did you watch any clips of it?
A little bit. I didn't really watch the show. I was doing more research on the virtual queue to get on the train.
Right.
I was kind of doing more research on that. Now, the first day, they were gone in seconds.
Right.
And they release them at 7, the virtual queue, and then it drops again at 10.
Right.
And you have to be in the park at 10. So that's
one
thing.
For the second one, yeah.
For the second one. I was kind of, you know, 1 o'clock, the park closes like at 6. I don't even know, 5 or 6. I don't know what time it closes right now.
Right.
But So that's what I was doing some research on, and they were really gone. And there were a lot of people that were now the second and third day. And I, cause I was talking to my sister-in-law and she's just like, oh my God, they're so hard to get. Like, we're not even telling her. We might not even go to Animal Kingdom because I don't want her to get excited for it and see Bluey everywhere and then not be able to get the virtual queue. And I said, okay, it only, cause I saw her on Tuesday and I was like, it's only been one day. Give it, or right. I saw her on Wednesday and I was like, it's only been one day. Give it a few days. And you're going at the end of June. So I think it's definitely going to not be as bad. And maybe the virtual queue won't be. I hope they keep the virtual queue because I think that does limit, you know, you can at least prepare.
Yeah.
When you're going
to
go.
I assume it gives you like a time to meet the train.
Right. Yes.
And that makes a lot of sense because the train is limited in the number of people it can take. And, you know, it only goes every, I don't know, let's call it 15 minutes. Right. Because there's two, I think there's two trains that do the round trip.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a loop. So it's not like it's one train that goes one way and then comes back the same way. You're actually doing a little loop around. It'd be nice because it's a good way to crowd control.
Right.
For sure. But I heard already like the 10 a.m. is not that hard to get.
After the first day. Right.
After That's the first what I heard day, too. The 10 a.m. one is not running out quickly.
Yeah, because a lot of people, that one you have to be in the park. So if you're not in the park yet,
right,
you're not going to get it. So the 7 a.m. one, you don't have to be in the park. So that's definitely right. A difference.
Yeah. The 7 a.m. one's still going fast. It's not seconds. You know, I mean, the first day nowadays, of course, it's all the influencers that have to get their video the first day, you know. Mm-hmm. So first day, it's probably half adults standing there watching Bluey jump around. I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't even want to go the first day for these things because it's so media heavy. With people having to get their videos those first couple days. So, but it looks like a cute show. I mean, the two characters, Bluey and his sister, right?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. They're two sisters. They're both sisters.
Okay. Yeah. So Bluey and Bingo come out and, you know, it's basically a little, I mean, it's not that different from like the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse show. There's a host that stands up on a stage and then there's a couple of helpers and then the two characters come out and it's very interactive though. The video I saw, the Bluey and Bingo were kind of getting mobbed by kids. So that seems maybe not the best idea or how long that's going to last the first time they get knocked over or something.
But
they're just out in the crowd, you know, so it.
Well, I think the original thought was they were going to do a meet and greet, but I think the meet and greet, because of capacity issues, a meet and greet, I don't think it would ever work there because right. I think the meet and greet for them would be ridiculous.
It'd just be too long lines. Yeah.
It would be too long and there's just not a capacity. And then what's happening is if you have people there, then people aren't leaving. So if people are in line for the meet and greet, they're not going to leave, right? It's going to be hard for them to leave. It's not going to be the people eater that they want it to be. It makes sense that there's no meet and greet there. I think there was a time where we would skip Animal Kingdom a lot when Ryder was little because there just wasn't a lot there. And until he was able to ride more or we were doing longer trips, that was the park that we would either skip altogether or it would be the half day park that we would do on our way home. So we would check out of a resort, go to the park and then drive home. This kind of makes it more of a destination. Obviously, there's a lot of shows there. Yeah. Now you have like the It's Tough to Be a Bug was terrifying to little kids. So we waited till Ryder was older.
Right.
But now that's gone. So it's Zootopia. So there's a lot more for little kids. Now, obviously, Dino Land is gone. So the few rides that little kids could ride are gone. But I still think it with the Bluey, I mean, we went to the Bluey show, the preschool, I don't know, the show that travels around. And I also paid for the meet and greet because I wanted to meet Bluey, not necessarily because Ryder did. I mean, people were selling them. It was like Taylor Swift tickets because there was like two shows and that was it. And I mean, and they sold a lot of meet and greet tickets.
Yeah. I mean, Bluey is still super popular. I mean, that type of thing usually, you know, ebbs and flows with something for small children like that. You know, 5 years from now it may go away completely, but right now it's super popular and you know they didn't exactly invest a ton of money in this, so I think it's I think it's pretty smart of them. It's a park that definitely needs a boost for attendance, so you
and
know.
A lot of people weren't going over to Conservation Station,
right.
Like The animation did make it a destination, but I think this makes it now a destination. So I think it's really smart. So going back to what I was saying, kind of circling back, is that I definitely would, if Ryder was little or I was taking my niece, I would definitely make the day trip and schedule a day. Still, for if you have toddlers, it's still probably going to be a half day park because yep. there's just limited to do. But it to me, it makes it definitely worthwhile. But
go see the animals too, because that stuff's underrated. The animal yes. trails. If you have little kids, take the time to walk the Rainforest Trail and the Maharaja Trail. Those are really good. There's really get up close with a lot of different animals. So for sure, yeah,
absolutely.
And then yes, Soarin' Over America. Honestly, I haven't looked at anything. I mean, the online stuff I'm hearing is okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like thrilled with it or anything, so I don't know. I haven't seen it myself, so I can't really say. You know, I mean, Soarin' is Soarin'. It kind of works regardless of what they throw at you. I mean, I would be annoyed at parts of Soarin' Around the World that were
right.
heavily CG. I'll say it kind of annoyed me the way they like add the Moana crew. I mean, it isn't really Moana, but like the
right,
rowers
right, right.
in the ocean. It's like, you don't need to do that. This stuff is spectacular, you know?
I've seen a little bunch of clips and stuff, but I think, like you said, Soarin' is Soarin'. And, you know, while I love the California one, it was great when I saw it. And then when we hadn't seen it for a few years and we went back and saw it, it was really fun to see it again. But I think this is a great way for the 250th. And I think, you know, there's a lot of parts that the United States, you know, people haven't seen in the United States. A lot of people, you know, haven't even left their own state. You know, we, yeah. I think we forget that a lot of people don't travel. And obviously, if you're traveling to Disney World, you probably have. You know, there's a lot of parts, like there's a lot of parts I haven't seen and I don't know what's in there, but thinking Mount Rushmore, Grand Canyon, like I've been to the Grand Canyon, but I've never seen Mount Rushmore. There's so many different parts of the United States and it's so vast and it's different. So I think it's a great way. At this end of the day, though, like, what do you want? Like, that's the thing is if people don't like it, it's just like, what did you want? And that's where right. sometimes people complain. And it's like, OK, well, what did you expect or what did you want? And if you can't say that, if you can't articulate, now, sometimes you can say, oh, I think they should have done this or this and this, right. then that makes sense.
Well, and you think about it, the original Soarin' was just California and there was exactly, there was enough yeah. in California to make for an interesting movie.
Absolutely.
So I think there's certainly enough in America to make for an interesting movie. You know, I'm looking forward to it. To me, I didn't really want to watch it beforehand, and that's why I didn't. Now, Rock and Roller Coaster, I actually did watch a full ride through, which I usually don't, but I wanted to see, you know, it's mostly the pre-show. That's the difference, right? I mean, they mm-hmm. yeah, they changed some of the things in the ride itself, but it's the same track and everything. So the big difference is the pre-show. And I was glad to see they still said, hey, how about some backstage passes?
Yeah.
So they still kept that line. No, I think Rock and Roller Coaster update is cool. I think they did a nice job with it. I don't feel like they like cheaped out on it or anything. It's very similar to what they were doing with Aerosmith, but it's funnier, I would say. Looking forward to any of these more than the other?
Definitely, you know, I love Bluey, so I will say I'm definitely looking forward to Bluey. Probably, I'm looking forward to all three, to be honest.
Yeah.
And actually, we didn't mention the new, it used to be Disney Junior Dance Party. I think right. it's the Clubhouse now. I don't know if they renamed it, but that's been updated too.
Yeah.
I did have a friend go and they said it was great. They have little ones. Now we're past that. We don't go to that anymore, but they said that the new update is great. So that's wonderful. And it's definitely more of the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So that's something. Now, obviously that I'm not looking forward to because I hated sitting on the floor. Yeah. Yeah. More just because it was really hard. Every time I went, it was harder and harder to get up.
Yep. Yeah, they had those like three benches in the back that everybody.
Yeah, Ray always went to those. Ray went to those benches. Yeah. I'm looking forward to all three of these, Soarin' Over America, the Rock and Roller Coaster, and Bluey. If I had to pick, like, rank them, I would say I'm probably looking forward to Rock and Roller Coaster the most, just because we love it. And when I love the Muppets. And then probably Bluey and then Soarin' Over America is probably the kind of the ranking. But yeah. I am looking forward to going to all three.
Yep. I'd probably put Soaring a little over Bluey. I mean, I probably won't make a special trip for Bluey just because I don't have kids of that age. But I appreciate Bluey. My daughter, we've talked about it before, she's into animation and she would actually like watch the show and like we watched some of the shorts and everything, and it's actually very funny for
it's great
even for an adult to have to watch. So
because the episodes are short, the episodes are like 7-8 minutes, and they're not like drawn out. They have like good story, good like family values, like just really good. Yeah. And then you, like you said, they're funny.
Yep.
So we should move on
to the news.
Because we could talk all day. Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and start with our first story. And that's going to be that more changes have been announced for Carousel of Progress. So Disney has announced that more changes are coming to Carousel of Progress. The original announcement that was Walt Disney animatronic would be coming to the introductory scene to the attraction. Now it's been announced that the entire attraction is getting a refresh with all new show scenes. So Act One is going to take place in 1969 during the moon landing. Act Two takes place in the 1980s during Halloween. Act Three takes place at the turn of the century on New Year's 1999. So those of you who don't remember, that was Y2K. Yep. And then Act Four is going to take place in a possible future of household robots and travel to space. So now the attraction will be closing on July 6th, 2026, and is expected to reopen sometime in 2027. This is a surprise for me because this is pretty much now, again, I know a lot of people like to preserve, and I'm assuming they're going to be preserving the original, because this was something that Walt Disney actually touched himself. But what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I mean, there's some pushback against it, but I actually think it's a good thing because I feel like watching the attraction today, it's like you watch the first three scenes and they're kind of all so long ago that they all seem very similar the changes between them. I mean, yeah, okay, it's modernization, but it doesn't feel like this big difference. And then the last scene felt kind of dated because you know, it was probably built in the 90s. I think that's when they changed that, late 80s or early 90s, and it, you know, it felt like the future from the 90s. It was kind of cheesy. So I kind of like this. It's more applicable. You know, I read somewhere a comment that, like, if you think about it, this was built in 1960 and it went back 60 years, and now they're looking from 2025 and they're going back 60 years. So I think there's a lot of changes that happened over these times. It's funny for me anyways, like the first scene, 1969, that's the year I was born. You know, this will be across my entire life. And I think, you know, it's better to keep younger people, and by younger people, I mean anyone younger than me, even the parents, more interested because they can more relate to it. You know, I think it's a good idea. I really do. I think it was always the intention to kind of keep refreshing it. And I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like, I think it's kind of jarring when you see like, oh, wow, they're taking out all the original ones. But I think as long as they preserve the original ones, if people wanted to revisit it or something, I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. But as far as an actual attraction, I mean, we wrote it during the Halloween party, but before the Halloween party, because Ryder wanted to see it and he hadn't seen it in a while and he enjoys it. But I mean, there was not a lot of people there. It's just, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't go. So I think this will actually get people to the attraction. And at some point, when do you say, okay, we're not gonna change anything because Walt touched it? Well, if 50 years, Disney World is celebrating its 100th anniversary, it's really going to be outdated. So at some point, it's got to be changed. And you just can't. Walt Disney wanted it to be always evolving and continuing. And I don't think he would have wanted it to not be changed just because he had his hands on it at some point. Right. So I'm actually excited. I kind of like, oh, now I want to go see it one more time, but I doubt we will.
Yeah. It's closing too soon. Yeah.
We're there the 3rd to the 5th, but we weren't planning on going to the park. So.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, what they should do is take a really good video of it.
Yeah.
That they, you know, professionally produced, that they could, you know, put on Disney Plus or something like that. So as you say, kind of preserve it so anyone could see it that wanted to. I mean, they supposedly did the same thing with Muppet Vision 3D, is that they're going to release that as like something that you could watch with a, you know, an Oculus or one of the 3D glass visual things. Hopefully they do something like that and retain it. But, you know, I agree. I think it's time to update it. So
yeah, I agree. So Okay, next one.
Okay, a couple minor changes to DVC or to what they're doing in DVC. They're now freezing point usage during the right of first refusal process. So if you have ever bought resale, and I always recommend that you do, Disney Vacation Club has a process that goes through when you put in a bid for a contract. DVC has the right to purchase that contract at that price. So if I bid X number of dollars, Disney can tell the owner, yep, we're going to buy it back for that amount. And, you know, your contract's going to get, we call it ROFRed, right?
Yeah, and that prevents it from going too low.
Right. And Disney, in theory, does that to prevent from prices from getting too low. So they've adopted a policy of placing a hold on the contracts when they're going through that right of first refusal. And this is the statement that they put out. In accordance with the signed contract we have received for the sale of the above stated DVC club ownership interest, we have instituted a hold on the vacation points associated with this ownership interest. During the hold, these vacation points cannot be used. As provided in your purchase agreement, Disney Vacation Development LLC may decide to exercise its right of first refusal and purchase your ownership interest at the price stated in your third-party real estate contract. At the conclusion of the purchase, the hold will be lifted. If right of first refusal is waived or we received written notification, the aforementioned contract is canceled, the hold will also be lifted. So basically what it does is if you're buying a contract, in theory, the person that was selling it during the process could go in and like book another stay or with the points. So They could have said, and I don't think this happened very often, but they could offer it for sale and say there's 150 points on the contract, and then they could book a last minute trip and use 100 of those points and you get the contract and, you know, it's not what they said it was going to be. I don't think this was happening frequently, but you know, it could happen. Now Instead, once the contract goes to right of first refusal, they can't do that. So it really is a protection for the buyer more so than the seller. And you know, I think it's a good idea. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, they're obviously doing it for a reason. So Maybe it didn't happen. It didn't happen often, but it did happen. And then what do you do? Like if you're the buyer, what do you do? And I have seen, not a lot, but I have seen posts of this happening.
Yep.
And where like, oh, you had all these points and then they went in and booked a big stay and they used it during that time. And then what do you do? Do you back out of the like, what do you do? You know, you have every right to do that, but at the same time, maybe you can't. I think they're doing it for a reason. And I think it just protects the buyer. I think it makes sense.
Yep. Yep. And then we have one other small change at Boardwalk. The Boardwalk Villas has two different styles of grand villas. There's 7 grand villas on property, and 2 of them are 2-story units, while the other 5 are spread out on a single floor. And Starting January 7th of 2027, so we're already past the date where you can book these, they've actually set this up as 2 different booking categories. So you can choose between the single story or the 2-story units. The point price for the 2 sets of units are the same. There's not really that big a difference in size other than the 2 level versus the 1 level. And, you know, I own a small amount of points at Boardwalk, but I'm never going to rent a grand villa with my 75 points. This doesn't affect a lot of people, I don't think, right? It affects those few people that have enough points at Boardwalk to book grand villas. But if you are one of those people out there, now you have the option to either, if you do it right at 11 months, you can choose between the 2-story and the single story units.
And I will say I did do the videos on the best and worst, like rest and worst rooms and in the Boardwalk Villas. This was a common, I remember when this first came out, like, how can I request the one or the other?
Right.
And it was like, you can't.
Yep.
So that was something that came up a lot and early on when I first did that video. And I remember that was something where you can't. So I'm glad to see that's been updated because there is a big difference. And maybe if you have someone that's, you know, I think I remember liking I can't remember. It's been a long time since I made that video, but I remember like looking from pictures, I liked the 2-story better. But if you have an, if you're traveling with some your parents and they're elderly and getting up the stairs is hard, mm-hmm. then maybe you don't want. Or if you have little toddlers, maybe you don't want stairs. I know I wouldn't have wanted stairs when Ryder was little. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And maybe you don't care, but, and you can get whatever one you can get. But I like that it has the choice because there are people that may want one without stairs or prefer the one with stairs. And then you don't want to spend all those points and then be disappointed.
Yeah, this must have come from consumer feedback. I mean, it had to have been.
For sure. Okay, so our next story, I actually have some experience with this. So story four is that professional photo sessions are now going to be available at Grand Floridian and Polynesian resorts. So Disney is now offering photo sessions bookable at the Grand Floridian and Polynesian resorts. Each session includes 40 minutes with a professional Disney photographer assistant. Shots will be taken in multiple locations on property, and a total of about 60 prints will be provided. The cost is $3.99, and bridal photos, party photos are not allowed. And if you want to book, you got to email disneyportraitsessions@disney.com. Okay, so I have a couple feelings on this. So if you don't know, a couple months back, I had a feeling something like this was coming because they used to have a thing called Disney's Fine Art Photography. And it's what they used for, they had Disney photographers. That's what they used. You had to book them for your wedding, or you didn't have to, but they had it. You could book them, and you could do an outside photographer too.
Right.
But you could also do portrait sessions at any of the resorts. So it was any of the resorts, not just Grand Floridian Polynesian. It was any of the resorts. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, everybody got furloughed. And while they still have Disney Fine Art Photography, they never brought back the portrait sessions. Mm. And so that's when I went. So we did a couple, I think we did two or three of the portrait sessions through Disney Fine Art Photography. And then when we did it, we found a photographer, wonderful, portrayable photography. She was great. We did like two or three at the resort. I remember we did Boardwalk and Old Key West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ended up using her too at your recommendation, and she did a great job.
She's great. Now, a couple months ago, everybody got a cease and desist. So they were no longer allowing on-site. Now, you can still book them for weddings, but they were no longer allowed to do portrait sessions at any of the resorts.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so Kim, I text her and I still have her as a friend on Facebook. And she did reach out saying, yes, like I'm not going to jeopardize my entire business or being able, because she would get trespassed. So she's no longer going to be doing that. But she said, you know, basically I'm still available for outside of Disney. But that was the whole point. You know, we loved it because it was also a memory of the resort we stayed at. So it was like the time we stayed at Boardwalk. It was the time we stayed at Old Key West. Like it was great. I had a feeling that they were going to be bringing this back. And so now I think it will eventually, if not every resort, it will go to more resorts. I think that this is a test run to see how it happens with Grand Floridian and Polynesian. Right. That's usually the two resorts that people request the most anyway, even if you're staying at the All-Star Sports, maybe you don't want to take pictures there. You want to take pictures at the Grand Floridian. $3.99 was about what it was in 2019, which is the last time we did it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was maybe a little cheaper, but it might have been that was the cost. So I'm not surprised with the cost. And if you know what professional photographers cost, these aren't PhotoPass photographers also. These are actual photographers. Now, the PhotoPass photographers are usually great too. These are not like, these are digital prints and they're, you know, so it's included. So if you know, like I've done per family portraits and then the prints are extra. So you pay like $250, but then the prints are extra. So you're getting all the prints. Now they're not going to be airbrushed or anything like that, but you can get that done. So this is in line with what it was before 2019. I'm upset that they did the cease and desist. I think they should allow, especially if they're not allowing it at other resorts, but that's the reason why I think that they will be expanding it to more resorts. I know that's been a long-winded explanation, but I wanted everybody to know the backstory. What are your thoughts on this? Because $3.99 is more than what I paid with portrayable photography.
Right.
But, and I will say her pictures were much better than the ones that I had from Disney photography, but also she also didn't have a time limit. Like when we did it, I think it was 40 minutes and it was 40 minutes and you were done. Like it was like, okay, we're done.
Yeah. I think when we did it with her, it was more like an hour, maybe a little bit longer. It was plenty of time, though, for sure. But yeah, I think it was absolutely more than 40 minutes. I mean, we did it at the boardwalk, and we kind of shot all over. So there was a lot of different,
right,
a lot of different shots. And it was only the three of us. It was my daughter's high school graduation. So it was, yeah, shortly after the pandemic, we did it. And mm-hmm. she did a great job. It's disappointing because, to me, I think of, like, well, how can you really tell? I mean, I realize the hotels are private property, but, like, you can't bring a photographer to take pictures at a hotel. I mean, come on. You know, again, it's not wedding photos or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that they changed the rule that you can't have photographers. I get why they don't want professional photographers in the parks.
I agree.
I agree. Totally get that. I really don't like them making this change. That said, $399 is not outrageous in this mm-hmm. day and age for something like that. At least it's not trying to charge $800 or something. I think $399 for a set of professional photos. And as you said, it isn't going to be just your average PhotoPass photographer. I mean, some of the PhotoPass photographers are very good. Some of them are not as good. I don't think they do necessarily do a lot of training with the PhotoPass photographers. So this is someone that knows what they're doing, I would assume. And then there's a second person to help with lighting and everything like that. So, I mean, it's really going to be really good pictures. You know, at that price, it has to be.
I did it three times. I now remember, and I did it three times with mm-hmm. fine art photography. The first time, I will say, they were awful. We got one decent picture out of it. And now Ryder was also two, and he was very young, and he had a meltdown, so we ended up just cutting it. But I did go and complain because I spoke to a supervisor, and I said, just look at the pictures. And they went and they looked at the pictures, and they said, I was like, look, there's a shadow here, right, there's this, there's that. And they were like, you're right. Like, they absolutely agreed with me. And it wasn't, you know, there were things that weren't because of Ryder. It was because he just didn't, like, take care of that. The other two times, so they actually, what I did isn't, I didn't get my money back. I just got my next session for free. So we did it the following year. Those were great. Did them at, I think that was the Polynesian. We did at the Polynesian, and it was raining. So we actually went to Grand Floridian, and the photographer actually took longer because he was like, look, Polynesian doesn't have many spaces when it rains.
Right.
So we took the monorail, and he's like, don't worry about the time, I'll take care of it. And that's good. Yeah. So it was because it was raining, and it was scheduled at that time, and it was great. And then the following year we did it at Old Key West, and those were fantastic. Two out of the three were fantastic. I think that was a rare occasion where I just had a photographer, and if I remember correctly, he hadn't worked there very long. So he's probably not there anymore. But I will say, if they don't expand it to the other resorts, then I think they need to allow the other photographers to come back on site. But that leads me to believe that this is going to be expanded.
I would think so.
Yeah, I do understand why they're not allowing other photographers if they're offering it. If they're offering it, and they're going to offer it at all the resorts, especially like Art of Animation. Like, Art of Animation is an amazing resort to take pictures at.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't limit it, one, what's the point of, like, no one's going to book it. They can get it for another photographer for $199. And then you're also at the risk where there's going to be a lot of people that take pictures. Maybe they aren't staying on site, because that's what happens too.
Right.
So I do see the reason. But again, when I first saw the cease and desist, I was really upset about it, because it was like, well, then you guys have to offer something. I'll leave it at that. I think it's great. It is expensive. We did it for several years when Ryder was young. Now we've done the Capture the Magic a couple times, which is also great. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously, that's cheaper, but it's in the parks. I wish they would do that, offer some sort of Capture the Magic at some of the resort, because I think that would be an even better offering,
right,
and would probably do really well. $99, take pictures, PhotoPass photographer for 20 minutes.
Right.
$399. You know, I'm getting hair and makeup done.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm spending $399, I'm going to look damn good.
Right.
You know, $99, I'll do my own hair and makeup. Let us know what you think, though. I'm kind of curious what other people think. I think I'm a different breed in this type of thought, because I love professional photos, and I'm the one that wears full hair and makeup to Disney World because that's the only time I get family photos.
Right.
So I'm curious, would you pay this? So go into our Facebook group, our community. Let us know. What do you think about this? Because I'm curious what people think. And again, I've spent way too much time on that one. And then I think this is our last story. Now, obviously, we've talked about Disney Cruise Line. We'll just kind of mention some of these new rules because we do know that if you are DVC or you're interested in DVC, you might be interested in a Disney cruise as well. So there's 7 new Disney Cruise Line rules that you need to know about before your next sailing. And I actually, the reference is me, the source is me, because I did post this on my blog. So first of all, there's been a lot of changes to the door decorations. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever been on a Disney cruise or really any cruise, but it's really prevalent on the Disney cruise, is that it's really become popular to decorate your door.
Yep.
I think it started with magnets, but now people do full on displays where your room is like almost like a destination in and of itself.
Yeah, people are getting a little crazy.
Yeah. So I do understand this. So the door decorations must stay on your stateroom door. That makes sense, right? Mm. Because people were having like garland and entrances and all over the place. So it has to be on the actual door. Mm. Adhesives are no longer allowed. So it needs to be magnetic. So you can't use tape. You can't use anything that's adhesive.
That makes sense.
And mainly
damaging.
It's damaging, right? Yeah. It's absolutely damaging. No sound, music, or video displays. And you think, wow. And that's, yes, people were using sound and music and video displays. Especially we went on a Halloween one time, a Halloween cruise on the high seas. And like there was one that was like a haunted mansion and they had the haunted mansion music playing the whole time. And it was like you walk by and I guess it was sensory, but it was just like, wow. Like it was.
I would find it annoying to be in that room.
Yeah, exactly. And then also just, but if you're the person next door. Like right. It's if you put it up, it's one thing. But if you're the person next door and you're hearing that, yeah, that's going to be annoying. This is not really a change of the rules, but this is something that's kind of common sense. But don't leave valuable items on your door.
Basically, Disney is not responsible for this.
Disney is not responsible.
Yeah.
And I will say we decorate. We have a thing called a cruise duck mailbox where people can leave because my son loves to look for cruise ducks. But if he doesn't, like there are times where he will not do anything else until he finds a duck. So we have a mailbox so people can leave ducks, which really helps because now we're not spending a week looking for cruise ducks. And then also cruise ducks, Disney Cruise Line, you can't hide ducks anymore. Because yes, they eliminated cruise. That was about a year and a half ago. A lot of people now have cruise ducks on their mailbox. Like they put a mailbox and people can drop a duck in there. Gotcha. And what we do is we have one where you can drop, it's called leave a duck, take a duck. You can take, we'll leave one out, people will take and then drop one in the mailbox. But what happens is that people take. So we did the mailbox one time on a Royal Caribbean ship and people were leaving ducks for my son and then kids were going and taking them. And then we had some time on a spring break cruise where a lot of people's magnets were taken. Again, not valuable, but you would go to guest services and then people were complaining that people were stealing things off their door. If you don't leave valuables on your door, well, again, it's just kind of saying if you're going to go to, and I'm sure what that's happened. I'm sure people have taken things. People have taken pixie dust items. People have taken things and they go to guest services. So I think this is Disney's Cruise Line saying, We're not handling it because I've seen people do that. I want the security camera, from our hallway because I want to see who took our duck who took our magnets.
My opinion of this is like, yes, this sucks, but humans are humans.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's jerky humans that will see something on your door and be like, that's really cool. I'm just going to take it. I mean, I'm glad they're stating this. It's like you put something on your door, you're risking that someone's going to take it and you're not getting it back.
It's not fair to guest services. It's not fair.
It's not their job to find.
It's not their job because somebody took your magnet off your door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is their way of saying, if you leave on your door, we're not going to be pulling security cameras if someone took your magnet. Right. I will say this is one thing I think that the other cruise lines are going to follow suit because I think that it's becoming an issue. It is becoming an issue.
Right.
Especially, like I said, on Royal Caribbean. Now, this isn't a new rule, but this is something that they've become more, I think, be more clear on, is that over-the-door organizers are prohibited. Now, I was under the understanding that they were prohibited already, so I never brought them. So what we're talking about are those shoe organizers.
Right.
So people would bring those, and then you put, like, one time I did, like, my son's complete outfits. I've just shoved an outfit in each little slot.
Right.
So his entire week was in that. It's also a really great place to put all your toiletries or everything, like, anything that you need. So right. It's not
they're
just
small,
all over.
They're small rooms. Right. So, yeah.
Exactly. But I was always under the impression that Disney Cruise Line didn't allow over the door hooks because it scrapes the door.
Right.
I guess it wasn't. I thought it was. But anyway, what I've done is what I do bring those because I use them all the time, but I bring magnets. Don't get the ones that are four across, get the ones that are two across. And there's a link. We'll put a link to my blog and I put the ones that I have that I bought on Amazon. The shoe organizers that are just, they're half size. So they're just two across and they're long. And then I just get two of those, but then I get heavy duty magnets. Now, the only thing is you have to get, make sure you get really, don't get the $5.99 for 24 magnets. Right. They're not going to hold. You need to get ones that are really, really heavy that will hold it. And then they will hold because the walls are magnetized as well as the ceiling. And you can use that. But that makes sense again because they were scraping and, you know, I'm sure it became a problem because again
damage.
So now the other ones, this is like changes to the alcohol policy. Disney Cruise Line, and you were saying that when you went on a cruise, I didn't know this, that you could, it was originally like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it was bring what you could carry.
2014, we did a Disney cruise and none of the other cruise lines did this, but Disney Cruise basically allowed you to, if you could carry it in your carry-on, you could bring it. So, because we went and we spent like $100 on booze the night before the cruise because we'd flown down to, it was us and another couple and the kids. And we ended up, we had like four bottles of alcohol and I think six or eight bottles of wine that we brought on. And so we essentially were like drinking, pouring our own drinks the whole trip. They changed that quickly after that and brought it down to the two bottles per person limit. But now you're saying they're making it even tighter.
Yes. Right? They're making it even tighter. So it was after that, it was when I went on in 2016, it was you could bring up to two bottles of wine per guest. So if you were,
drinking age. Right. Guest,
Yes. We didn't bring two bottles of wine for a rider.
For a rider.
So we only brought, I think, two and we didn't even finish them, but it had to be wine or champagne. It could not be like hard liquor, or it was like a 12 pack of beer.
Yeah.
Now it's changing to one bottle of wine or sparkling wine, 750 milliliters. So they're also doing this. You can't bring the really big ones.
Yeah.
And per person, so per adult in the room, or six beers per adult, 21 and older in the room.
Yeah.
So now this is very much in line with the rest of the industry. This is what it is on Royal Caribbean. Now, we don't bring anything on. I will occasionally bring something. Now, we drink for free on Royal just because, well, we drink four drinks a day and that's more than I can handle. So we don't really buy drinks on Royal Caribbean, but we will occasionally bring like one bottle when we go on a Disney cruise. But even that, I'm the only one that drinks it. So sometimes we don't even finish it.
Yeah.
So this is fine. I know people are upset about this, but I think this is in line with what the industry is. The cruise line's got to make money. That's where they make money, is in the alcohol. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. Now, Disney doesn't offer a drink package like many of the other cruise lines. But again, I don't think they also want people drinking a lot on their, they don't have
sense.
Casinos.
They're clearly a more family friendly, and they're not putting things in place to make it easy for people to get drunk. Because if you're on, like we went on Royal Caribbean and we looked at the alcohol package and we were like, I'm not a heavy drinker, but on vacation, I'm a moderate drinker. And, but my wife is not, she has a glass of wine or something with dinner. That's all she'll have. And we looked at it and I forget what it was. It was, I think like almost $100 a person per day. And we were like, I might on one of the days drink that much. I won't drink every day that much. And my wife was like, I would never drink that much. So we were like, why bother? It isn't worth it.
No, it's not worth
it. But people that do it are like, well, now I got to drink. Right.
Well, that's what happens.
So right. I think it's good that Disney is doing that. I think this is a little bit of a bummer. I mean, it's not like two bottles of wine per person for a cruise is like that much alcohol. So, I get why they restricted it from the level that one time that we went on it. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of a bummer. One bottle of wine. I mean, if you're on a 7-night cruise, what we liked it for, and we did it when we did the Royal Caribbean cruise recently, I think it was the same thing. It was one bottle per person.
Yes.
We did bring two bottles on, and because I said, with dinner, you pay a corking fee and you get to drink a bottle of wine with dinner. And if we actually would bring like the same bottle, like we wouldn't finish a bottle and then we'd bring in the same bottle back the next night. It kind of stinks. It's only one bottle, but it is what it is.
I'm the same way. And I would bring like two bottles just because I like sparkling wine, but I would write it and drink it. So it, you know, after the first day it's flat. So then I would just throw it out, you know. I think this is, if you're really upset about it, maybe this Disney cruise is for you. Like, again, it's one of those things like, yeah, it's me, but it is in line with the rest of the industry. So I think it's fine. Yeah. Like, I think it's totally fine. Now, you did mention the corking fees. So they are, the corkage fee is being reduced from 29 to 20. So that's good because you, in a corkage fee, if those of you don't know, when you bring the bottle of wine, you can have it for free in your room, it's whatever. But if you bring it unopened to the dining room, they will charge you a fee to, because basically you're using your wine and so they're not selling the wine. So that's kind of the upcharge there. What I have done now, usually we do what you do. We open it in our room and then we bring it to, like, I just bring a glass or I'll bring the whole bottle to dinner and then I bring it back to the room. I have on occasion just tipped our waiter, like given them $20 and then they don't charge us. I'm not saying that's like a hack. I've just done that and I've never asked them to not charge us, but I think giving them $20, they kind of understand. But again, I usually don't do that. I usually just bring the bottle to the room. So I would never put somebody, never ask a crew member or anybody to do something that is against policy because they could lose their job for it.
Right.
The times that I have done it, they didn't charge us. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
Again, I think these are fine. It was interesting because when this came out, I was actually on a ship tour of the Disney Destiny and everybody was kind of getting alerts on their phone. And we asked the person that was the business development manager that was leading the tour. And he's like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about because they don't find out. Like, just like so many things of Disney, the cast members are the last ones. They find out with everybody else. Right. And that was the case. And this time he's like, I have no idea. So he was reading the updates when we were getting it and he had gotten an email, but he was obviously on the ship tour with us. I'm fine with it. I'm definitely fine with the decorations. It was getting out of hand. It's one of those things, like it was nice. Now, they are saying I've been hearing mixed things because the fish extenders are the things that hang on the little fish extender on the Destiny. It's something else, but they have little Mickeys, but it used to be a fish on the original ships and it kind of hangs down and that's where people leave stuff. I've heard mixed things that you can't have it or you could have it. I have heard that you can still have the fish extenders hanging, but some people have heard that you can't. So I would say don't spend a lot of money on it. And at the worst case, bring a magnet and stick it on the door. It'll still hang on the door. Have an alternative if on your ship they say, no, it can't hang from there. That's the only thing I would say.
Yep.
So, and it's just as a reminder, I am a travel agent now. So if you are interested in a Disney cruise, you can definitely contact me. You can find me on shannonford.com. So I'll just leave that there.
Yep.
Now we do have, that's it for our stories. This was supposed to be a quick episode. I think I've talked too much. There were topics to discuss.
Yeah.
So we do have some upcoming dates to note. So upcoming Moonlight Magic, they already been ticketed. Typhoon Lagoon was ticketed on June 25th. The June 25th Typhoon Lagoon has already been ticketed. And then the summer season is coming up. So those ticket release dates for on-site stays are June 4th. And then June 10th is going to be for the general public. So if you have a stay coming up for these four dates, the June 4th is your date. And it's Hollywood Studios on July 20th, Typhoon Lagoon August 4th, Typhoon Lagoon August 20th, and then Epcot September 10th. And as a reminder, you can only pick one date for the season. So if you are staying, like let's say you have two trips planned in July and September, you have to choose between one and the other. That's kind of how it works now with the season. And if you are going to the September 10th Epcot, I do have a vlog from the one in February, and I do think it's going to be probably almost exactly the same. So you can see kind of how the character meets went, what the crowd was like, et cetera. Now, are you planning on attending any of these?
No, we won't be down there. We are going in the fall, and a lot of times they add ones in October, September, October. So we'll see. Last year they added one that was on for our trip. So we were able to go. This trip's going to be a little shorter, so we're only going to be there for like 5 days. So we'd have to get pretty lucky, but we'll see. we'll see when they announce. They announce additional ones in the fall. They usually announce some for Animal Kingdom, as I said, in like October, November. So we'll see. Right. Those, I think, get announced usually late August or early September. I think what they do is they wait to see how much budget they have left.
But if you are going, let us know. I the Hollywood Studios one, I think it's going to be awesome because there's so much new stuff, the Rock and Roll Coaster, et cetera. But your trip is in October, you said, or September?
October around the 17th or something we're going down.
Okay.
Something like that. So weather's a little ways away. Yeah, should be good weather.
Yeah. We are going, we'll be there for July 4th. So we're be there again at the Poly July 3rd to the 5th, like just like last year. And really looking forward to watching the fireworks. And I'm hoping they do some special stuff for the 250th. It was fun last year, but it was raining. It was raining all of July 4th. And the actual fireworks got delayed by 15 minutes. But we'll be at the Poly on July 3rd. So the plan is to watch the fireworks from the beach on the July 3rd. Just in case they don't happen on July 4th. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then I celebrate my 50th the week later. So July 12th.
Nice.
So yeah. So it's easy to remember how old I am because I just have to kind of subtract 200 years from the age of the country. And that's how I do it.
That's how you keep yourself feeling young, right? Because
I'm
200 years younger than the country. Yeah.
It's actually how I always remembered as a kid, how old the country was.
Right.
Because that was always something, question that they would ask us. Yeah, just add 200 of how old I was because I'm 8 days and 200 years, you know. But anyway, well, with that, hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.